Last Sunday, we began our summertime series in a cluster of psalms that are known as the Psalms of Ascents. They go from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, and we're calling this series, as we look through these psalms through the summertime, we're calling this series Songs for the Journey. We're calling it Songs for the Journey because we know that in some fashion their original intent when these songs or psalms were written was in fact to accompany the people of Israel on the road. In these songs there is a frank acknowledgement that sometimes the road that they traveled was steep, sometimes it was stormy, sometimes there were dangers on the road. In these songs, there are also many reminders that in the midst of the uncertainties, in the midst of the dangers, in the midst of the difficulties of the journey, that there is a God who is bigger than all of those difficulties. And so we find courage in these psalms. And these songs, they come down to us today. And we consider ourselves to be pilgrims. We consider ourselves to be travelers walking along the journey of life, walking the journey of faith. And on this journey of faith, we recognize as we look at the whole story of Scripture that we are pilgrims who, those of us who have trusted in Jesus, we are pilgrims who belong to God, belong to Jesus. We are pilgrims who are part of this great journey that the Bible describes for us, a journey that begins with creation in the book of Genesis, and at its very central point, it has the wonderful person of Jesus, and through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, and through his ascension, we receive life. All of mankind has the opportunity to receive life and restored relationship with God. And we are moving towards the new creation, that time when God will bring his kingdom to fruition in its fullness. In that time, that place where the book of Revelation describes as a place of no more tears, no more sorrows, no more suffering, no more sighing. We're part of that journey. But in the meantime, as we are still broken people who live in this broken world, we recognize that sometimes the journey of life is difficult. Sometimes the journey of life is painful. Sometimes it is confusing. Sometimes it is painful in lots of different ways. And so we come to these psalms which pay attention to the reality of the journey, and we come to these psalms in a way to find comfort and to find hope. I wonder what word or group of words you would use to describe your journey of life right now. We all go through different seasons of life. I wonder what kind of words you would use to describe your journey of life. They say that a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I thought I'd give you some more words to choose from by looking at some pictures together. Perhaps your joy, or perhaps your life is something like this first little guy. Maybe it's pretty good. Life is pretty good right now, and there's some joy there. Or maybe it's like this next guy who really has a lot of joy, I think. Or perhaps this other fellow who just doesn't seem to have any stress at all. He's doing pretty good, I think. And maybe for you, life is going along pretty good right now. And if it is, this is something to give praise to God for and to give thanks to God for. But maybe it's not quite like that. Maybe it's going okay, but there's just some things you're not sure about. just a little uncertainty there, you know? It's not really bad, but you're just not quite sure what's going on. Or maybe you're a little perplexed. This little guy looks a little perplexed. And sometimes life isn't really bad, it's not really good, but we're coping, we're making it, it's happening, it's going along okay, not really good, not really bad, but we're making it. Or perhaps we have an experience, something more like this. Or like this. Where perhaps, there are some real cries of your heart right now. Perhaps there are things in life that are just confusing and painful, and if you're to be honest, you just want to cry out and say, what is this all about anyway? Sometimes life is like that, isn't it? In this world. in which we live. I want to suggest that no matter what the state of your journey of life today, that we need to hear the message of Psalm 121. I've entitled my message for this psalm, Living in the Reality of Yahweh's Attentive Care. Living in the reality of Yahweh's attentive care. Last week, after we read Psalm 120 together, I suggested to you that there's not many people that I'm aware of that have Psalm 120 as a favorite psalm. It's just not that kind of psalm, you know? Psalm 121 is very different. I'll bet there's some people in this room for whom Psalm 121 is pretty special. It's one of those psalms, and I want us to pay attention to it. I want us to live in the reality of it. And so I want us to, as I'd like us to do most weeks, is to read the psalm together. It'll be on the screen. And just before we do, let's pause for a moment just in quiet and again prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord as we will say it together in just a moment. So we say these words together. We begin with a song of ascents because the title is part of the psalm, right? So we begin with a song of ascents. And we say together, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. I would like to begin by making a few general observations about this song, and then observe more specifically the message that I see in four stanzas. I think there's four stanzas of two verses each in this song, and I'll put the whole song on the screen. If you go to the next slide, the whole song will be on the screen so you can see it all at once, even though the font is a little smaller. The first observation I want to make about this song is to talk about the context, at least the possible context in which it was written. Why was it written? Who was it written to? What's it all about? There's a number of theories suggested by various scholars about exactly how and why this psalm was written and the specific context into which it was written. And without going into all of them, I want to just talk about the one that seems to make the most sense to me and one that grabbed my attention as I was reading. Last week we noticed that one of the very real possible scenarios for these psalms, that they were songs that were sung on the journey as the people of Israel from wherever they lived around the nation of Israel would travel up to Jerusalem three times a year for the great feasts. And as they traveled, it is thought that they sang these songs together. The specific scenario suggested for this psalm is that this is a dialogue in the temple in Jerusalem between a priest and a pilgrim, and it's taking place at the time when the pilgrim, or perhaps the pilgrim and his family, are preparing to leave the temple to go back down the hill towards their home. And so it's seen as a blessing for the journey as they leave this place of worship and they're going back to their home. This, if we read the psalm carefully, we notice that there's a change of pronouns here. In verses 1 and 2, there's a first person pronoun, right? I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? If we look at verse 3 and following, it's a second person, right? So he will not let your foot slip. So there's a change in pronoun here, which makes people think, scholars think, that maybe there's a dialogue going on here. And perhaps verses 1 and 2 is the voice of the pilgrim expressing some thoughts at the opening part of the psalm. And then from verse 2 and on, it's a priest from the temple. We might imagine him as a wise and godly priest who is giving words of blessing to this family as they're about to embark on a journey. Mostly down from Jerusalem. We think of the road going down to Jericho and other roads like that that were sometimes dangerous and roads where they would encounter some difficulty. And perhaps it would be a comfort for the journey. Perhaps it would also be a comfort for what they would face back home. Perhaps back home there were difficulties in life. Perhaps there were uncertainties. Perhaps there were relationship struggles in the home. Perhaps there were difficulties in making a living, and it was difficult for them to put food on the table. We don't know what kind of difficulties they were facing as they went home, but this family is coming from a time of having worshipped the Lord in the house of the Lord, in the temple, and no doubt their hearts were full of praise to Yahweh for who He was, and now they're facing the road home. And this is what we imagine the priest saying to him, to this family, as they're about to embark on the journey. And so as we imagine this scenario, perhaps we can think of ourselves. We can think of ourselves as coming to the house of the Lord this morning, in a sense gathering as the body of Christ for the purpose of worshiping together, of being encouraged together, of having our hearts drawn to think about God, to think about Jesus and who He is and what He's done for us. And so perhaps we might think of going out from this place to re-engage life as it is out there. And it's my prayer that as we think about doing that this morning, that perhaps the song, this song, Song 121, will perhaps ring in our ears as we leave this service today. Second observation I want to make about the psalm is that there is a very strong repeated theme in the song. And it's a theme of watchfulness. It's a theme of what I want to call the attentive care of Yahweh for His people. And if you click once more, you'll see some yellow words there. In a very short space of time, from verse 3 to verse 8, there are six occurrences of this very same word, watch. So we see in verse 3, He who watches over. In verse 4, He who watches over Israel. In verse 5, the Lord watches over you. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you. Guess what? That's the same word. The Lord is your guard. He is your watcher. Verse 7, He will watch over your life. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. Can you kind of get the message of what the priest is saying to this family? What is at the core of what he wants to say to this family? It's not hard for us to imagine the core message. The Hebrew word that is used here has many English words attached to it. It's a very strong word, I think. It's a word which includes such English words as to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend to beware, to be circumspect, to take heed, to keep, to mark, to look narrowly, to observe, to preserve, to regard, and all kinds of words are around this idea of watching over. And what the psalmist wants to say, and what if we're imagining this priest saying to this family, one thing you need to know for sure, as you travel this road, you need to know that Yahweh is watching over you. And this is a very, very powerful and repeated phrase in this psalm. So here's a question. No matter which words you might use to describe your life journey right now, let me ask you, are you aware, are you consciously aware that God, your Father, God, your Savior, God, your Redeemer, is watching over you? Do you have that sense of Him watching over you day by day? I don't know how you experience life, but sometimes I find when things are going quite well, thank you very much, in those times, sometimes I forget that God is watching over me, right? It's easy to kind of get complacent and just kind of enjoy the blessings and enjoy the good things, and we don't pay attention to this attentive care that God is continuing to have over us. Sometimes when we're sort of in that middle stage where we're hanging on, we're coping, we're making it through, we're doing it, sometimes we do it on our own strength, don't we? And sometimes we forget that the watchful hand of Yahweh is very close to us. And sometimes when life throws some things at us that are very complicated and difficult and hard to deal with, sometimes we feel abandoned, don't we? The psalmist wants to tell us in all of those circumstances, Yahweh is paying attention to you. He is watchful. He is close to you. And so we observe this possible context of the psalm. We observe this repeated theme that's in the psalm. A third observation I want to make is how not to read the psalm. One of the uncomfortable things for me, actually, in the way that I read this psalm, sometimes when I read it out loud, I'm almost uncomfortable, because at first glance, this psalm seems to be telling us that if we trust God, nothing wrong will ever happen in your life. And I think we need to be careful how we read this psalm. As with all of Scripture, we need to be careful to put this psalm in the light of the whole story of Scripture and understand what the psalmist is really trying to say here. Because as we look through Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, we realize that nowhere in the Bible is there a picture of life on this broken world that is free from pain, that is free from trouble, that is free from suffering. There is no picture of that in the Bible. Even last week when we looked at the words of Jesus at the end of John 16, when he was saying goodbye to his friends, what did he say to them? In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world, right? So that's the message we need to grab onto. This is not a message that there will be no trouble. It's a different message. So how should we understand these phrases? He will not let your foot slip. The sun will not harm you. He will keep you from all harm. To summarize the language of Scripture briefly, I believe that we can make a couple of statements with confidence. The first statement I would suggest that as we put the whole of Scripture together and look at God's caring love for His people, we can say with confidence that the promises of Scripture are about God preserving us through trouble rather than preventing us from it. Back in December, we looked at Isaiah 43. Maybe you remember the language of Isaiah 43. Yahweh is saying to his people there, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Right? That's the terminology of the watchful care of God. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So the promises of Scripture about God preserving his people through the difficulties rather than preventing people from the difficulties while we live in this world that is still marked by sin. A second phrase I think we can say is that the real promise is that God's attentive care towards his people is unalterable. Let me say that again. God's attentive care towards his people is unalterable. It will not change. And that God will ultimately work everything for good in this big picture of the story. And what passage in the New Testament comes to mind when we think of those words? We may think of Romans 8, right, where Paul says so very clearly to us that God is working everything for good. Right? And Paul uses this language in that same chapter where he says, who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? And what's the answer to that? None of those troubles that we will face can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not even death can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see how Paul's putting it in this big picture. And so we therefore can take absolute confidence in the promises of Psalm 121 if we put it in this big picture. So we don't read it in a way that says we will be prevented from having any troubles in this world, but we read it in the sense that as we go through those things, that God is preventing us from harm in the big picture. God is not abandoning us in the moment of trouble. He is with us at all times. And so we must be careful to read this psalm carefully and yet with confidence. So what's the structure and how can we learn from these different stanzas, the four stanzas I want to suggest that we see in this chapter? If we look carefully, there's an interesting characteristic about each of the four stanzas. If we divide in two verses at a time, we can see a different part of the body mentioned in each of these sections. So if you look at, if you can go to the next one here, if you look at verse 1, we see that the eyes are mentioned. I lift my eyes to the mountains. In verse 3, we find a foot. He will not let your foot slip. In verse 5, we find the Lord's at our right hand. And in verse 7, well, the word is life, the word is soul, the word is one of these big Hebrew words again that we'll look at in a minute that really encompasses the whole of who we are as people. As we observe this exchange, and again as we imagine this priest standing at the entrance to the temple, speaking to a pilgrim and his family as they're about to head off on the road down to down home, I want to suggest we can look at these four sections and respond in these following ways. In the first section, verses 1 and 2, I want to suggest that we can identify the source of help. I think that's what the psalmist is doing. That's what the pilgrim is saying here. This is where I turn for help. In verses 3 and 4, I want to suggest we can find stability on a road that is sometimes rocky and sometimes uncertain. In verses 5 and 6, I want to suggest we feel the protective shield of God at our right hand. Verse 7 and 8, that we can know the comprehensive guardian. The language of this last paragraph is all about being comprehensive. So let's look briefly at each one of those. First, we identify the source of help in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 say this, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Implicit in this statement is, of course, an acknowledgement of the need for help along the road. Sometimes when we're walking through life, we might feel like we don't really need help. This psalmist isn't in that place. He's saying, I need help. And it's good for us to always pay attention to the fact that we need help at all times in our life. And so he lifts his eyes in search of help. And where does he look? He looks to the mountains. Many times through this spring, I have been out early in the morning, and some mornings, the mountains just to the south of us here are breathtakingly beautiful. The sun catches them in just the right way, and it's an amazing thing. It does something for my soul when I look at them, and I just observe the majesty and the beauty of those mountains and what God has done in making those mountains. But is this the source of help? I want to suggest it's not. The psalmist is saying, I lift my eyes to the mountains, but actually my eyes go much farther than the mountains. My eyes go to the maker of the mountains. My eyes go to Yahweh, who is the creator of all that is, the creator of the whole universe. In fact, many people, probably in the days that the psalm was written, many people would have looked to the mountains for help, because on the mountains is where they placed the shrines for some of the false gods. The Baal and other false gods had shrines on the top of the mountains. And so many people would look to the mountains to find those shrines and those places of worship. And the psalmist is saying, I look to the mountains, but I'm actually looking beyond the mountains to Yahweh. To Yahweh, who is this great covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, who is also the creator of everything that is. That's where I'm lifting my eyes to look for help. People today look to many places for help. People today look to fortune tellers, to perhaps their horoscope, to spiritual gurus of all kinds. The psalmist is saying, I lift my eyes as high as they will go, because I want to see Yahweh, who is the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, the one who is the creator of all that is. When we get in deep trouble in our lives, it's sometimes confusing to know where to turn for help. Sometimes the circumstances overtake us. We're not sure where to turn. And so it's good in the more peaceful times to speak these words of this psalm that says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from Yahweh, who is the maker of these mountains. It's good in these times also to think of the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament, who encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. It's to God, it's to Jesus that we focus our eyes to find our help. But then we find stability on the road in verses 3 and 4. And we hear the gentle voice of the wise priest as he speaks to the pilgrim for the coming journey. And he says to them, "He that is Yahweh, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Twice in this first admonition, the priest emphasizes that Yahweh's watchful, attentive care has no interruptions. There is no interruptions. He is not like us. God does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not lose attention. I really valued Eugene Peterson's comment in relation to this stanza of the song. So let me read his comments. He said, the only serious mistake we can make when illness comes, when anxiety threatens, when conflict disturbs our relationships with others, is to conclude, the only mistake is to conclude that God has gotten bored in looking after us and has shifted his attention to a more exciting Christian. Or that God has become disgusted with our meandering obedience and has decided to let us fend for ourselves for a while. It's a mistake to think that. Or that God had gotten too busy fulfilling prophecy in the Middle East to take time now to get us out of the complicated mess that we've gotten ourselves into. It is the mistake that Psalm 121 prevents. The mistake of supposing that God's interest in us waxes and wanes in response to our spiritual temperature. Did you catch that? The mistake is to believe that God's interest in us waxes and wanes in response to our spiritual temperature. This psalm is telling us that God's watchful, attentive care of us is always the same. It's always the same. It doesn't matter how bad we mess up. It doesn't matter how hard the road is. It doesn't matter how good the road is. God's watchful, attentive care of us is a continuous reality. In verses 5 and 6, the psalmist wants us to feel something, I believe. He wants us to feel the protective shield that God is to us. And so we ask the question, what about when life gets really intense? What about when the heat gets turned up really strong? How do we feel then? The psalmist says to us, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." In this climate, as well as in the Middle East, we know that walking a long time in the hot sun is dangerous. We need shade. Sometimes we see people walking down the street with umbrellas in the hot sun here because I guess it gives them shade. And so we imagine here what the psalmist is telling us, that Yahweh is our shade at our right hand. It's an amazing phrase, our shade at our right hand. It's a language of closeness. It's a beautiful picture of God being alongside of us. And once again, this doesn't mean that life won't become intense sometimes. But what the psalmist is trying to tell us here is that when life does become intense, you need to know that the watchful care of Yahweh is still there. He is still your shield. We understand the picture of heat, the heat of the sun by day, but what in the world is the psalmist saying by the moon by night? We don't feel heat from the moon at night. What does he mean by that? There's a couple of theories. Some feel it should be taken to mean generally the dangers of the night. You know, night is a time for danger. It's a time when the bandits are out and the bad people. And it's a time when sometimes we have more fear when it's dark. And so perhaps the psalmist is giving us a sense of God's shielding hand be with us there. There's others who note, however, that even in the English language we have a disease that we call lunacy, which is defined particularly as intermittent insanity, once believed to be related to the phases of the moon. And so perhaps the psalmist is saying something about the turmoil that's going on in our own heads, the turmoil that's going on in our own minds. And so we see that no matter how intense life gets, as a result of external forces or as a result of of disturbances in our minds, whether it's mental illness of some kind, whether it's emotional stress of some kind, whether it's close to breakdown, in all of those seasons and stresses of life, I believe the psalmist is saying to you, Yahweh is a shield for you. He's close. He is at your right hand. Then we come to verses 7 and 8, where I believe the psalmist wants to tell us, in case there's any kind of scenario that I've missed up above here, I want to talk in language that will include every part of your life. And so he says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. It's comprehensive language. The word life in verse 8 is another one of those big Hebrew words that encompasses so many English words. It's our soul. It's our life. It's the creature. It's the person. It's the appetite. It's the mind. It's the living being. It's our desires. It's our emotions. It's every part of who we are that the Lord will watch over every part of who you are, is what the psalmist wants to say to us. And not just now, but now and forevermore. And so we imagine this kindly priest as he is saying goodbye to this pilgrim family and sending them off along their way. We can imagine as he's coming to the end of this blessing to them that there's a building of intensity in the language. Whatever happens, he wants to say, whatever happens when you walk down that road, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how painful it gets, know that Yahweh's attentive care is still upon you. He is still close to you. He still loves you. He is still watching over you, day by day, moment by moment. And so we, as pilgrims on the journey of faith, living right here in Bishkek, as we walk out from this place of worship this morning, we may experience all kinds of things in this coming week. We may experience all kinds of doubts, distresses, joys, happinesses, all kinds of different things we may experience. It's my prayer that we would capture the heart of this song that we can take for our own lives, and that we would identify the source of help, that we would be looking to Yahweh, that we would be looking to God who is the creator of all, God who is our Savior. That's where we will be looking for help, that we would find stability on a road that perhaps seems rocky and uncertain, and maybe a road that has a fork in it and you can't just decide which way to go. The Lord will keep your feet from slipping. And then when life gets intense, that we will feel God's closeness, that we will feel that Yahweh is the one who does come alongside, the one whose watchful care is still upon us, even when it gets hot. And that we would know the comprehensive guardian of our souls, that He is the one who desires us to know that no matter what happens in any part of our lives, that He is watching over us. He is loving us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There isn't anything. Can we believe that in our lives this morning? I pray that we can. I'd like us to stand and say this psalm together once more as we close our service, and then we will sing together as well. But let us speak these words once more as we say together, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Praise God. Praise God. Let's join together in singing.